Let's go to the Dude Maker Hotline and say hello to old friend Craig Shirley, who is the author of Last Act, The Final Years, and Emerging Legacy of Ronald Reagan. Craig, forgive me, but I know you wrote at least one other book prior to Last Act on the president. What was the name of
it? Two other books. By the way, trivia, I heard the Mike Curb generation or whatever it was. Mike Curb was the lieutenant governor of California and a big Reagan supporter. In fact, he gave a seconding speech of Reagan in at Detroit in 1980. So I think he's a record producer down in Nashville. But he used to be very close to the Beach Boys and other California, you know, surfer type bands. So yeah, little trivia there.
Yeah, I knew that because I went to his Wikipedia page. He is the founder of Curb Records.
Yes.
And his big breakthrough act was Hank Williams Jr.
Okay, I didn't know that.
Yep. Now, folks, for those of you that don't know, now, Craig, I hope I didn't get this wrong because I was talking about you earlier today and that we had reached out and I was really hoping to get you on to talk about Mrs. Reagan and her passing, God rest her soul. And I asked the audience to pray for her eternal soul. She was quite a sweet lady.
Yes.
But I want to make sure that I got this right. I didn't instruct anyone incorrectly, but you actually knew the Reagans, and they and the former president kind of allowed you to hang out with him. If I can use vulgar, hang out may not be the right word, so that you could write those books. Correct?
I was a munchkin in the 1980s. I worked for the White House Conference on Small Business and the Republican National Committee and things like that. But Mrs. Reagan, over the years, told the library to open up files that had been sealed and make them available to me for the research of my books, which, by the way, you asked earlier, one of the books I've written, Reagan's Revolution, which was about the 1976 campaign, Rendezvous with Destiny, which is about the 1980 campaign, and then Last Act, which is about his passing. I'm now working on a fourth Reagan book called Becoming Reagan, which is about that time between 1976 and 1980 when he went through a complete ideological makeover, and it's really quite startling because the Reagan of 1964 and even of 1976 is often angry, and he's kind of an aginner. By 1980, he's mellowed, and he's for things. So instead of being, you know, anti-abortion, he's pro-life. Instead of being, anti-government, he's pro-freedom. He's learned how to better communicate to bring in more people into his coalition.
That is amazing. I never thought of it like that. Now, you just mentioned the 1960s Reagan being different from the 1970s Reagan. 70s,
right.
76 being different from 80. He gets his start, though, famously, and you know what? I actually have that record. I don't know where I got it from, but I have it. The
Rendezvous with Destiny.
Yeah, the speech.
Yes, I have it, too.
So you can find this on eBay, I would imagine. He was
Last I checked, it was pretty expensive. I think it was $300 a record or something like that.
Yeah, I think somebody sent it to me, donated it to me, and gave it to us. But what I was going to say about that, Craig, about the former president, and by the way, Craig's last book is called Last Act. It's a really good book. As a matter of fact, I've got it dog-eared here, because I'm on the third chapter. I read it infrequently, but when I do, I always enjoy it because I named a daughter Reagan. As a matter of fact, she's the one that called me yesterday morning and said, "Daddy, do you know that Nancy Reagan died?"
I went,
"No, I did not know." And she goes, "Yeah, she just died, and I'm sad." And I went, "Well, think of who you were named after, child, and don't be sad." But that speech, you know, he said things in that speech that were quite, I think, still today, remarkable. And one of them was that the Social Security was a welfare program and the government had lied about it, that the current government was lying about it and that they admitted it. Some guy named Byers, I think, was the accountant. It said it was a welfare program. So he came out slinging, saying things that today's conservatives won't even touch.
Right. Well, things change. You know, nothing ever stays the same. The issues that were around in the 1960s and 70s, some of them are timeless. Others change, with the moment. So I don't know what the answer is, but you just got to take it as they come. But great leaders tend to define issues rather than being defined by issues.
Now let's talk for a moment about Nancy Reagan. You knew Mrs. Reagan.
Yes.
And I'm sure
saw her last June. My wife and I did.
Well, the first thing that I thought of was the horrible slander that was hurled her way by the likes of Kitty Kelly.
Yes.
When she was the first lady, how does she deal with all that?
Well, I did. It got to her. It bothers her. It bothered her more than it bothered the president. He let things slide off his back. The only time he really got upset was when people unfairly attacked Nancy. He didn't mind if they attacked him. He didn't care, but he didn't like it when they unfairly attacked her. In fact, he wrote letters to people about the Kitty Kelly book, denouncing it and saying it's untrue and it was slanderous and all sorts of things. So that's how he dealt with it. Of course, and she took things more to heart. She took things more personally. When they arrived here in Washington in 1981, it was like they were walking past through enemy lines because they were walking into the buzzsaw of the liberal national media, and especially the Washington Post and the style section, the noxious style section of the Washington Post. And they made Reagan's life miserable for 8 years, and even the week of his passing. They wrote some god-awful things about, whether or not he had proposed to another woman before Nancy, that he was a lousy actor, that he was a lousy football player, Eureka. They just were always, always, always on the Reagan's case.
And I like to say that when I talked to my daughter about the former president, and I said, love the fact, and read the books about Ronald Reagan, because he's probably going to be the last American president that was an actual American. He lived a life. He was born. I mean, I love the part of the story where he's young and he grows up in the butcher shop, in the apartment above the butcher shop, and the butcher feels sorry for him. For his mother, and he gets they get the leftover gizzards and livers and stuff, and then he goes off to school and he becomes a broadcaster, like in the field that I worked in. And by all accounts, he was a really good broadcaster.
Yes, he was. Yeah, he took it seriously. He took his voice lessons seriously that he got from some old producers at WHO Radio and WRC Radio in Des Moines. And he had that type of voice that just was very, very soothing and very calming to people his entire life.
Now, just give us a little background on what you know about when he actually did meet Mrs. Reagan and when they got married and what their early life was like. Because she was with him before politics, right?
Oh, yes, very much so. In fact, he was the president of Screen Actors Guild. They met in the late 40s. Sure name, she was an aspiring actress, was making the movie, The Next Voice You Hear. And her name, of course, it was during, the communism in Hollywood was pretty prevalent, and there were communist provocateurs trying to subvert the various actors' guilds and things like that. And her name showed up on a list of suspected communist provocateurs, and she was very, very distraught about this. So she called Mervyn LeRoy, who was a famous director and a good friend of hers, and asked for his help. And he said, look, I know Ron Reagan. He's the president of Screen Actors Guild. Let me have him call you. So he had Reagan call her, and they set up a dinner that night, as a matter of fact. 50-some-odd years later, they were still dating. They never stopped dating after that first date.
Well, that's funny that they were dating. Talk for a minute. Author Craig Shirley is on the Dude Maker Hotline with us, and thanks for coming on
sure.
Such short notice. I was remarking to the audience earlier today, Craig. I've been watching television. I got Fox News, I got MSNBC, and I got CNN on, and I said, I can't believe I haven't seen Craig Shirley. They have all these other clowns on here talking about the former president. Why not have the guy that knows the most about him?
Well, I was on Morning Joe this morning. I was on
I missed
Fox
it.
Business this morning. I was on quite a number of shows this morning, and then I'm on more shows this afternoon.
Good. Okay. All right.
But you know what? I don't mind because there's enough of Reagan to go around for all of us.
Right. Right. Well, I was just looking forward to seeing you on TV, buddy. That's all.
Oh, thank you.
I was hoping you'd sell a few books. You know.
Well, look at it this way. I'm on with you instead.
I. One moment in Nancy Reagan's life that I wanted to ask you about,
sure.
And maybe you know about this. One of the, I have a lot of Reagan speeches. Personally, I collect them whenever I find them. I restore the audio as best I can. I make it as modern and beautiful as I can. One of my favorite ones is the 1989 farewell speech, the goodbye
yes.
speech. Now you, his love for her is just.
Boundless,
and you can hear it in that speech when he talks about how Nancy and I have so loved being here in the White House and are going to be so sad to leave it. Where was she at the time? Was she in the next room listening? Did she help him with the speech? What can you tell us about that, maybe?